It's something to shout about. You're about to hear the only advertising program on BBC. Leave it on and it'll get rid of flies, cooking smells, your wife's relations and all other household pests.
It's something to shout about, it's something to shout about, it's something to shout about and cry out loud.
It's new,
it's heartwarming,
it's non-habit forming.
We can really guarantee it's something to shout about.
Yes, it's something to shout about. Michael Medwin with Eleanor Summerfield, Fenella Fielding and Joan Sims and a cast of several bring you a light-hearted expose of the advertising world.
Anyone for more coffee?
Black without sugar, please. Yes, it's fine. Janet, do you want me to sign that letter?
I don't think you should. It's to my mother. I mean, it's a bit silly if it ended goodbye for now, your loving daughter, Michael Lightfoot.
Well, it's a wise mother who knows her own children. No one's got a pipe cleaner, I suppose, have
we? Well, I've got a knitting needle, but you'll have to wait until I get to the end of this row.
Mavis, what exactly are you knitting? It looks like an egg cosy with arms.
Perhaps it's a comforter for deep frozen eggs.
Oh, no, it's for my cousin Winnie's youngest. It's a matinee coat to wear in the evenings.
Oh, really, Mavis? A boy or a girl?
Well, I expect it'll turn out to be one or the other. She hasn't had it yet.
Michael, it's getting on for 1 o'clock. I think you ought to try and squeeze in a little work, otherwise we'll be having coffee for tea.
Well, believe it or not, I've absolutely nothing to do. I'm having a well-earned rest.
Now, 37, 38, 39, 40. Well, that's odd. The last row was 35. I must be increasing round my buttonhole.
Well, it doesn't show from where I'm sitting.
By the way, my little girl said a very amusing thing last night.
Little Catherine?
Yeah.
You've already told us. After her bath, she said, "Mummy, don't rub me with a towel. Put me in the spin dryer."
No. After that, I went to kiss her goodnight, and she wanted to hear a fairy story.
Did you tell her the one about what the parrot said to the battery hen?
No, I told her the story of Puss in Boots. And do you know what she said when I'd finished?
That she'd heard it before?
No. She looked at me and said, "Mam, mam." Just like that. "Mam, mam."
It's marvellous how they know, isn't it?
You know, if I were you, I'd get her eyes tested.
No, you don't understand. Our cat is called Marmalade, and she was only trying to say Marmalade. Well, I was astonished. I mean, she's only 4 and a half. Really, it showed that she grasped the point of the story.
Which is more than I have. You've got a very remarkable family, Adrian. How's the eldest getting on at school now? Still top in woodwork, is she?
No. No, that's Nigel, the middle one. Got a bit worried about him, actually.
Don't tell me he's got woodworm.
No, but the other night he switched off the TV and said he'd rather do his homework.
Well, I can see a big future for him as a dramatic critic.
But what's going on in here, I should like to know? Occupational therapy? Mavis, you shouldn't be here for a start.
You mean I should be at lunch?
Look, why aren't you in the typing pool, hard at it with the other girls?
Well, I forgot to bring my home perm in this morning and they're all using theirs.
Of course, I'm quite used to Janet regarding this office as a beauty salon.
Darling, I didn't know you even heard of such places.
I've heard of them, dear, but I'm not a season ticket holder.
Then steady, girl, steady.
It's all right, it's all right, Aidan. They're just limbering up. It's when they take their earrings off that you've got to worry.
Anyway, I hope you've all made the most of your rest and recreation period, because tomorrow you won't be having one.
Oh, are we all getting the day off?
No. No, Mavis, we're having a surprise visit from one of the directors of the firm.
Oh, I wondered why the lift man was suddenly wearing a collar.
But, Maggie, which one's coming? Apsley, Addis, Cohn, Barbican, Blythe, Giddy, or the partners?
None of them. It's Mr. Giddy Jr. He's doing a tour of all the offices.
Don't worry, Maggie. Tomorrow the phone will be buzzing with activity. When Mr. Giddy opens that door, he'll be quite overwhelmed.
I don't doubt that. The last director to open that door received a golf ball straight in the middle of his super tax bracket.
Well, that was his fault. I shouted four quite audibly before driving off the desk.
Anyway, I don't think he minded. He was rather a doll in a vintage sort of way. He called me little girl. He watched me typing, and then he asked Michael if he thought I was fast enough.
I hope Michael didn't tell him. Now, look, it's up to you. Tomorrow you've all got to make a good impression on Mr. Giddy Jr.
Well, the trouble is, Maggie, I don't have much work at the moment. There's a bit of a lull.
Good gracious, you can look as if you're working, can't you? And Adrian, too. After all, you were both in the RAF.
Well, I wasn't. I was too young. Now, what can I do to impress him?
I think you'd better take the day off.
No, no, we'll need Mavis. She can come whipping in every now and again with important-looking documents.
Oh, you leave it to me. I'll come dashing in and out like a fiddler's elbow.
Now, listen, everybody, one last thing. We don't know what time Mr. Giddy's arriving, so we must all be in by 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock? But I'm not always in bed by then.
No, but tomorrow we must all be here at 9, otherwise there'll be a local pocket of unemployment.
My dad was in one of them. He got rendered repugnant.
Nine. Whew. Made it. Oh, let me sit down.
Oh, you poor darling.
Oh, I've just had a terrible shock. I've been working here for 5 years, and for the first time I met the office cleaner.
Well, I don't know. Who do you think does the cleaning? Little bands of fairies with feather dusters tied to their wands.
I say the old boy's on his way up with Maggie. Action stations. Stand by, chaps.
I'm not a chap.
We'll go into that later, but Adrian... Adrian, if the old boy's coming, you should be in your own office.
I know, but I've just had a great idea. While he's here, I'll ring you up a couple of times and pretend to be important clients.
Well, fine, great. Now you better go.
No, just a minute. I must tell you what my little girl said to me last night.
Not now, not now.
She said... She said, good night, prune face. Prune face? I don't know how she thought of it, you know.
Well, perhaps... Perhaps she'd heard your wife talking about you. Now, hurry, will you? Hurry.
Oh, I give it to me, old man. I'll phone you. Oop, they're coming along the corridor. I'm trapped.
Get typing, Janet. Pretend you're here on business, Adrian. Let's start talking about the account.
Of what account?
Well, any account. Well, now, as I see it, Mr. Beals, it's no use advertising their product unless they're willing to reorientate their sales image.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Each and every one.
This office is Michael Lightfoot, one of our most promising account executives. And this is his secretary, Miss Harris, Mr. Giddy Jr.
Good morning, Mr. Giddy.
Good morning, my dear.
And this is Mr. Beals, whom you met in the copywriting department.
Good morning again.
Oh, yes, but what are you doing, dear?
Michael and I are just finalising the layout of a big new campaign.
For which product?
Dog biscuits.
What?
Scotch whiskey.
What are they on about? Dog whiskey?
No, Mr. Giddy, a slight confusion arose because there are two firms planning a merger.
Yes, that's right. It's a merger of dog biscuits and whiskey.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's a new sort of biscuit soaked in whiskey for St. Bernards who can't afford brandy.
Yes. And it can also be sold to Scotch Terriers. Well, now, if you'll excuse me, Lightfoot, I must be getting back to my office. Don't hesitate to call me in again if you need help.
Now, Lightfoot, don't mind me. Just carry on working as though I'm not here. I just want to watch.
Mr. Lightfoot, about your appointments tomorrow, I'll get the dial.
Oh, efficient girl, that. She moves well, too.
Mr. Lightfoot, I have some pressing documents for your post-haste attention. Sign, please.
Oh, yes, sure. Oh, that reminds me. Janet, send out for another pint of ink. We got through the last lot in no time at all.
I'd better get a gallon this time. It'll save popping out every day.
Yes. Mavis, this seems to be quite in order. Now, where's the annual report from the Amalgamated Egg Box Company?
The what? Oh, the granulated... Well, isn't it among those documents?
No.
Well, perhaps it's on the back of that soap coupon.
Mavis, it's a big, thick, 600-page report. I read it yesterday while shaving.
He must have quite a strong growth.
I distinctly noticed two typing errors, one on page 410. Quite frankly, it's not good enough. Have it checked, will you?
Oh, all right, I'll retype the whole thing. Won't take a moment.
Hello, yes? Mr. Lightfoot is the Bank of England again. He'd be so grateful if he could spare 2 or 3 minutes.
Yes, but no longer. Janet, set up the egg timer. Lightfoot here. What's that? Your new pound notes, not very popular. Yes, of course we can advertise them. Send round a bundle of samples. Fine. Goodbye, Adrian. Mr. Threadneedle.
He's certainly got away with him.
Oh, he's got away with a lot of things.
Janet, I must go down the corridor to see Mr. Beals. I'll be leaving in 10 seconds. Have the door open, will you?
Oh, he forces himself, doesn't he? He'll burn himself out.
Mr. Lightfoot, I've retyped the granulated egg report.
Really? What kept you?
But it's 600 pages. Here you are.
Thanks. What is it?
A notice about the staff holiday stuck on top of a telephone book. Now, before I go, I have some more pressing documents for your post-haste signature.
Thanks.
Well, I've seen enough. It's been a pleasure to meet you, my boy. Nice to see someone with a bit of go. I hope you're not working too hard.
Oh, I don't mind that, sir. Though very often I don't get home till the small hours of the morning. What with one thing and another.
You can say that again.
Come along, Miss Duffnell. I want to have a word with J.S. about this boy. Good day to you.
Well, I must say you certainly did your nuts for Mr. Giddy.
And I thought it went rather well, Maggie.
It went well, all right, but as usual, you went too far.
How do you mean?
Your little exhibition this morning is going to cost the firm another $1,000 a year.
Ha-ha, so I'm getting a rise.
No, an assistant. Mr. Giddy told J.S. that you've got far too much work for one person.
But I don't want an assistant.
You're going to get one whether you want him or not.
Him? Another man? In here? Who is it then? When? What's he like?
Janet, stop pretending you're not interested.
I refuse to have another man in this office. I don't want him lurking around playing gooseberry.
You've no option. J.S. has insisted, and since there's no room for another secretary, he'll have to share Janet as well.
But this is monstrous. I can't work for both of them. It'd be polygamy.
Polygamy? You mean he's one of those little people who lives in jungles?
No, Mavis. He's a friend of a friend of a friend of Mr. Giddy Jr.'s sister.
Going to be very crowded, isn't it?
He's got a degree in sociology and economics at some obscure American university. He's a born organizer, and his name is Basil Hacking.
I don't like him.
You haven't met him yet.
Doesn't matter. I just feel I don't like him.
Neither do I. He sounds very unsympathetic.
You know, my CO was called Basil. He's a hopeless type. Couldn't even grow a moustache.
Well, perhaps it's the same one. Was he at polygamy?
Anyway, whether you like it or not, he's starting next week.
Oh, just think, Michael. This may be the last time we shall have lunch alone together. I'll miss this little cafe.
I know, Janet. When Mr. Hackett arrives tomorrow, it'll mean the end of a very beautiful friendship.
You know, I shall remember this day, Michael. Every time I see a plastic mustard pot shaped like a crinoline lady.
I suppose it's just possible he might not turn out to be as bad as we expect.
Oh, he will be. Mavis is expecting him to arrive in a grass skirt, brandishing a spear.
Excuse me, would you by any chance be Mr. Lightfoot?
Yes, I would, and chance has nothing to do with it.
My name's Hacking, Basil Hacking, glad to know you.
Oh, are you? Well, this is my secretary, Miss...
Janet Harris, I know, staff number 244, 3 years service with the firm, secretary personal.
Oh, I'm very glad...
Told me at the office you'd be here, no point in hanging around, so I came right over.
Well, you needn't
no
have.
No bother at all. Had a quick look round your office, Lightfoot. Found the place in a bit of a shambles. There was some half-witted typist flapping about the place. Don't know who she was expecting. Kept saying that I spoke remarkably good English considering.
Oh, that'll be Mavis. She's a bit vague, but her heart's in the right place.
Yes, yeah, straight down her throat and first on the left.
Seemed grossly inefficient to me. No room for inefficiency in advertising, you know.
Of course there is. How on earth do you think our firm has remained solvent all these years?
There's your coffee, sir.
Well, could I have a bill, please?
Oh, of course, sir. Pay at the desk, please, would you mind? I hope you've enjoyed your luncheons and found everything entirely to your liking. Here we are then, sir. And thank you very much. Cute. Tart. I ain't got my hand out because it's raining, you know.
Oh, I'm frightfully sorry. There you are.
Oh, thank you very much, sir.
And another thing, Lightfoot, your office needs completely reorganising. Notice the bag of old golf clubs in the corner. We'll have to sling them out. And if we move the filing cabinet into that corner, we can put Janet behind it facing the wall. Then my desk can go in the centre of the room.
Michael, I'm ready to go when you are.
Have you got a piece of paper? I'll draw you a diagram. This'll do. I'll do it on the back of the bill.
Do. Meanwhile, Janet and I'll get our coats.
But, Michael, we can't just sneak out and leave him, can we?
Can't we? You just watch. Ah, there's our waiter. Waiter?
Yes, sir?
The gentleman sitting at our table has kindly picked up the bill, but he's rather forgetful, so would you remind him on the way out?
Don't you worry, sir. I'll have it. I'll have it!
Well, Janet, we were right about hacking, a nasty piece of work.
Our cosy little office will never be the same.
Yeah, I bet the first thing he does is to push out the radiogram.
Over my dead body?
That's right, darling. Make it bumpy for him.
Commercials, Maggie Tufnell.
Hacking here. Miss Tufnell, I've observed you carefully during the past 2 weeks. I judged you to be a sober, intelligent woman of regular habits. This morning you were 2.5 minutes late. Why?
That's one of my regular habits.
Miss Tufnell.
I'm sorry, the bus was late.
You want to run to work like I do. This morning I did it in 12 minutes, 8 seconds. Mind you, the wind was in my favour.
It wouldn't dare be otherwise.
And one other thing. If you've got time to speak to me so long on the telephone, you must be severely underworked. Goodbye.
Well, of all the...
Oh, Maggie. Maggie, can I come in? I'm looking for asylum.
You can stop looking. You're in one. What's up? You're escaping from Mr. Hacking?
Yes, I even went into the typing pool to seek sanctuary. Things weren't any quieter there.
Well, that's more of a bird sanctuary. Still, you should have been able to find a little peace.
Maggie, this is no laughing matter. Oh. Hacking's been standing over me with a stopwatch. Says every hour I waste 12 seconds lighting my pipe.
He did the same thing to me.
I didn't know you smoked a pipe.
No, I meant standing over me with a stopwatch. He said every hour I waste 10 seconds straightening my hair.
Well, what can he do to stop that?
I don't know, but I suggested that in future this firm should only employ women who are bald-headed.
You know, he didn't even let up at lunchtime. He went into the canteen kitchen, rewired Mrs. Allardyce's hot plate, and tried to clean up Mrs. Wilson's urn.
Well, I don't suppose Mrs. Wilson took kindly to that.
Oh, she didn't. I know her urn's a bit scruffy, but mothers are very sensitive about their children.
Let's face it, Hacking's an absolute menace. I pity poor old Michael. Fancy sharing an office with him. It must be murder.
It's those pep pills of his that keep him going.
If only we could slow him down. Perhaps we could give him a drop of something.
I know the very drop. 200 feet down the lift shaft.
One, two, three, up. One, two, three, up. I'm alive, I'm alert, I'm alive, I'm alert. Act enthusiastic and feel enthusiastic.
Your letter, Mr. Hacking.
That took you 12.3 seconds. Not good enough. And the letter's all wrong as well. Instead of dear sir, you put drear sir.
I couldn't agree with her more.
Miss Harris, I've been doing a time and motion study on you.
But we hardly knew each other.
Right, put your secretary. She takes too much time over everything. Don't you mind?
Not when she's kissing me goodnight.
Oh, be serious, ma'am. Aren't you aware that she holds you back?
Yes, sometimes I don't get home till 3 in the morning.
Now then, young lady, no wonder you can't type very fast. Those rings and bracelets are slowing down your hands. Take them off.
Well, that's the right hand.
That ring you've just taken off your engagement finger, what's the inscription on it?
Watch this space.
And one more thing. That heavy makeup on your face must be weighing you down. Take it off, then you'll be able to run.
Well, if I took it off, I wouldn't need to run.
There you are, you see. 11:15, time for exercises. Must keep fit. A healthy body means an active mind. We'll start with the deep breathing. In, up.
Oh, no, not in, for me. Up. There's too much fresh air in this office already since you insisted on taking the door off its hinges.
A door, if properly removed, can be man's best friend. Study this sort of thing in America. With the energy saved by not opening a door, you can jump 3 feet in the air. In, out, in, out, in, out.
Oh, with the energy saved by not jumping 3 feet in the air, you could open the door if we had one.
Why not see how many times you can breathe out without breathing in? Now, Hackett, packing, shouldn't we be getting on with the Moggy Mead advertising campaign?
Not now. It's 11:16. Time for us all to stand on our heads for the good of our circulation.
Well, this morning I suggest we all stand on your head for the good of humanity.
Right, here we go. This is the way for... good health. Head on floor, both feet up together. Nothing like it. Come along, Miss Harris, you're next.
No fear, not without a hat on.
Mr. Lightfoot, oh, good gracious me, is Mr. Hacking all right?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
But he's the wrong way up. Shouldn't we tell him?
Well, he'll find out when he tries to walk along the corridor.
His face is all red.
Yes, he looks like a thermometer, but it's all right. You see, he's trying to get the blood to his head.
Why, where was it?
Oh, in his feet.
Well, do you think it would help if I squeezed his toes?
Maybe he's a man, not a tube of toothpaste. Leave his toes alone.
Well, I only wanted to squeeze them. I didn't want to roll them up.
Please, please, you're stopping the flow. Come down, blood, come down.
Oh, do you know my granny used to have your trouble? Except it was her feet, she couldn't get the blood too. It went down one leg, but it wouldn't come up the other. I think it was the floorboards that stopped it.
Your grandmother Mavis is a hypochondriac.
Oh, how dare you! She never touches a drop. If you weren't the wrong way up, I'd give you a good dressing down.
No, Mavis, that's not what
well,
he meant.
Poor defenseless old woman without a crossword to her name.
Now then, Mavis, it's all right.
Well, I won't have him harping on my grand.
Oh, there. Have a tranquilizer.
I don't want a tranquilizer.
Now look what you've done, Basil.
Well, I'm sick to death about hearing about her grand.
Well, at least she's not a polygamy.
What's going on in here, Basil? Why are you the wrong way up?
Well, he keeps harping on my grand.
You could be heard all over the building. What has she
been doing? All this thing, all the nice things.
All right. Michael, Adrian and I are waiting for you in the conference room. That's for you, Basil.
Upsy-daisy. 11:23. 2 minutes for getting to know people and making friends.
Well, you won't need us.
Mr. Giddy's protege. I can't stand him in my office a minute longer.
Yes, he's got to go. We must start a send hacking packing campaign.
Well, the best way would be to give him some sort of outside advertising job.
How about sticking posters on submarines?
If only we could think of some way of getting him fired.
Preferably from a gun.
I know. Why don't we challenge him to a friendly game of blind man's buff on the roof?
Or a game of Russian roulette with a machine gun. Come in.
Oh, Michael, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is an emergency. It's Mr. Hacking. Something's happened to him.
No!
Yes.
What?
How? Well, I'll tell you. You know how he's always taking pep pills to keep himself going at top speed? And, well, you know how sometimes I take them.
Keep yourself awake.
Well, just now Basil ran out of pills and asked for a couple of mine. So, well, I gave him what I thought were pep pills. But in point of fact, they were sleeping pills. The labels had come off the bottles.
Hooray! What a terrible thing.
Perhaps now we should get a bit of peace.
But haven't you heard? Mr. Giddy Jr.'s on his way up to see how Basil is getting on. And if we don't do something, he'll be asleep in about 10 minutes. Somebody must tell Basil what I've done. Warn him somehow.
We'll send him a postcard.
Mr. Giddy finds him fast asleep, he'll sack him.
How delicious.
But if Big Daddy is on his way up, we ought to get back to our offices. Janet, I'm proud of you. You're a credit to your sex.
I do my best with the material at hand.
An octopus couldn't do better.
But, Michael, I do think we ought to warn Basil. It seems so unfair to the poor dolly.
Nonsense. All's fair in love, war, and advertising, and this is all three.
I'm alive. I'm alive.
But, Basil, what's the matter with you? It's not like you to be yawning in the middle of the morning.
I just can't understand it. I feel terribly sleepy suddenly.
Why don't you try standing on your head?
I did. I fell over.
It's the lack of fresh air. Try again. On the windowsill. I don't know what's happened to you. You used to have so much go. Where's it all gone?
I don't know.
Well, you must try and get it back.
Yes, I suppose I...
everybody. Mr. Giddy's come to see us again.
Welcome, Mr. Giddy. Welcome back.
Good morning, Mr. Giddy.
Good morning. Good morning. Nice to be here. What's that mess on the floor?
That's Mr. Hacking. He's asleep.
Oh, Mr. Hacking, wake up. Mr. Giddy's here.
At this time of night, he ought to be in bed.
Mr. Hacking, wake up. It's Mr. Giddy.
Try tapping it out in Morse on his head.
Mr. Giddy, why didn't you tell me where is he?
I'm here. I'm over here, by the door. Except the door isn't here anymore.
Yes, we had to take it off. He kept walking into it.
The poor lad.
I've got some very important letters for your post-haste signature, Mr. Lightfoot.
Not now, Mavis.
Oh, whatever's happened to poor Mr. Hacking?
He's not feeling very well, Mavis.
Oh, it's sunstroke. I knew it'd happen. It's suddenly coming out of a hot temperature too quickly without wearing a mosquito net. All polygamies are the same. They're very suspicious to this sort of thing.
No, Mavis, it's nothing like that. It's sheer overwork.
Exhaustion. He just hadn't the stamina required.
Oh, poor fellow. Well, I shall just have to have a word with J.S. about this.
Well, we'll be awfully sorry to see him go, sir. How soon can you arrange it?
At once. If you ask me, Mr. Lightfoot, you don't need one assistant. You need four assistants.
Four assistants?
And next week, they'll be reporting for duty. My name's not Horatio Giddy. Good morning to you all.
Four assistants? Oh, no.
Four assistants, all in this office?
Four assistants? Assistants, all male.
Well, we can't have four more polygamies. I asked my gran and she says it's illegal.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, Adrian by Nicholas Phipps, Mr. Giddy Jr. and the Waiter by Warren Mitchell, and Mr. Basil Hacking by Graham Stark. The Jingle Bells and the Bernie Fenton Quartet were under the direction of Cliff Adams. The script was translated from the English by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe. The program was produced by John Simmons and recorded with the aid of electricity on a curiously strong peppermint with a hole in the middle. Thank you.